From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is preaching a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject which is sadly neglected in our day. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Without Fear of Man. The text, Deuteronomy 28, verse 10, And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Then we can have no reason to be afraid of them. This would show a mean spirit and be a token of unbelief rather than of faith. God can make us so like Himself that men shall be forced to see that we rightly bear His name and truly belong to the Holy Jehovah. Oh, that we may obtain this grace which the Lord waits to bestow. Be assured that ungodly men have a fear of true saints. They hate them, but they also fear them. Haman trembled because of Mordecai, even when he sought the good man's destruction. In fact, their hate often arises out of a dread which they are too proud to confess. Let us pursue the path of truth and uprightness without the slightest tremor. Fear is not for us, but for those who do ill and fight against the Lord of hosts. If indeed the name of the eternal God is named upon us, we are secure. For as of old, a Roman had but to say, Romanus sum, I am a Roman, and he could claim the protection of all the legions of the vast empire. So everyone who is a man of God has omnipotence as his guardian, and God will sooner empty heaven of angels than leave a saint without defense. Be braver than lions for the right, for God is with you.
Thou art mine.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring part two of a message entitled The Joy of the Spirit, part of an extensive series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The text is found in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, where the Apostle Paul wrote, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In this verse, we find the components of Christian joy. As Dr. Cairns has stated, the joy of the Lord is always to be connected to and aware of the majesty of God. Contrary to the world's notion, there is no joy in sin. True joy begins when the Holy Spirit does His work of regeneration in the heart. Furthermore, as Dr. Cairns will show, the continuance of joy depends on an up-to-date work of the Spirit in the life. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message called The Joy of the Spirit.
What joy could we have had had He not regenerated us? What joy could we have had in the depravity of our sins had He never sanctified us? Had the Holy Spirit never come to implant first that principle of holiness, that new bias of heart and mind and will toward Christ? Had He not continued that sanctifying work? Had He not continued making us uneasy in sin, giving us more and more a hatred of sin, creating within us a love for holiness and a desire after the God of holiness? Had He never done all that? What joy could you ever have in the depravity of sin? It's one of the great lies of the devil that if you'll only pollute your soul, you'll have joy. One of the great lies of the devil, if you will only sell out to the flesh, you'll have joy. There are people across this country me this morning, and they're destroying body and mind and soul for time and for eternity because they're selling out to the instant gratification of lust or evil desire, believing the devil's lie that this will bring them lasting joy and happiness, and it never does. It can't do it. The old Puritans used to give good advice about happiness. It's the very opposite to what people have in mind today. And though it's so near to the 4th of July, I'm afraid the founding fathers, and I mean the real founding fathers of this country, had a different view from the men who wrote your famous constitutional documents, because they did not believe in the pursuit of happiness. It comes as something of a shock. They did not believe in the pursuit of happiness. They believed in being happy. This notion of the old Puritans who never could be happy is an absolute fallacy. They believed in being happy, but they never believed in making happiness a goal. They believed, make holiness your goal, and God will make you happy. And I believe that theology. That's real theology. That's practical theology. You'll never be happy in sin. If you're not saved this morning, I want to tell you, guilt and misery are the natural results of the fall. And they pursue you through life. And if you live and die without Christ, they'll pursue you through eternity. Had God the Holy Spirit not sanctified us then, how could we ever have joy? That joy in its continuance depends on the continuance of the work of the Holy Spirit. It stands to sense if you're brought into the joy of the Lord initially by the work of the Holy Spirit, you can only continue in the joy of the Lord by the continuance of the work of the Holy Spirit. Thus you can only know the joy of salvation as the Holy Spirit of God does an up-to-date work within you. Now I want to emphasize that much this morning, because there's a lot of Christians, and this is where they're making something of a mess of their Christian life. The joy of the Lord, the joy of salvation, is never merely the joy of something that is in the past. It's never divorced from the past, as we'll see as we go on. But the joy of the Lord can only now be had by people who are now enjoying what the Holy Ghost is doing. You get somebody and he's trying to live today in the strength of an experience he had 10 years ago. Doesn't add up to much, does it? You have people today, and the only joy they have is to go back to the night of their conversion. Well, I'm always happy to go back to that time when first I sought the Lord. I want never to forget that time when God's gracious Holy Spirit got me on my knees as a guilty sinner and got me to the place of repentance. I never want to forget that. But I want to tell you, that's all you've got to make you joyful, you'll be miserable. In fact, I doubt the reality of any profession of faith that has not led to the experience of a continuing work of God the Holy Spirit. Now let's learn this. This is one reason why the Holy Spirit of God is given constantly to indwell the Christian. The believer's experience should be an ongoing experience. I ought to know Christ as my Savior today. It's not once I had faith in Christ. Faith in the New Testament is almost without exception never referred to in the past tense. The verb believe in the New Testament is almost uniformly in the present continuous tense. Because faith is not something that took place when you came to Jesus and that's it. Faith is something that had its inception at that point, and it continues in all the vigor and reality of its spiritual power. Faith and joy must now be rooted in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. You find this in the book of the Acts, chapter 2. That when the Spirit of God comes to regenerate people and then fills those people and works in those people, there's joy. In Acts 2, first of all, verse 41, they that gladly received the word were baptized, and there were added to the church about 3,000 souls. So, there's they get saved. Verse 42, you have them going on with the Lord. Then verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Here you have a people now, they're saved, but they're in fellowship with believers, they're in fellowship with the Lord, they're going on with the Lord, they have an up-to-date experience of the Lord, the Holy Ghost is poured out upon them, they have the power of the Spirit, the infilling of the Spirit, and naturally they have joy. There is real joy in the fullness of the Spirit. We don't have fullness of faith, we don't have fullness of assurance in so many cases, we don't have fullness of joy, we don't have fullness of any spiritual grace until we have the fullness of the Spirit. You can never divorce these things from the work of the Holy Ghost. That's the source in us. Now let me get this. It's very simple. But we do well to get it into our hearts. We have in our Orthodox churches today more deadness over things that ought to be vital. More deadness over things that ought to be throbbing with life. We have Christians, and they believe the Bible is the Word of God. They believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They believe that He was virgin born. They believe in His blood atonement. They believe in His resurrection. They believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in this. They believe in that. They believe in the other thing. They've got their heads crammed full of things that they believe. And if you were to dare to contradict one iota of their well-developed creed, man, they would be up in arms. But there's no reality to it. Doesn't mean anything. It's all up here in the head. It doesn't grip the heart. It doesn't flood the soul. It doesn't affect the life. Something wrong with that. That's dead orthodoxy. And I want to tell you, dead orthodoxy doesn't save your soul one bit more than heresy. That's a big statement. But I want to tell you, religion that doesn't touch your heart is heresy. There's something wrong with that belief in Jesus Christ that makes Him just a notion of the head, just a name on the lips. Doesn't touch the heart. Christ and His gospel must be made real to the heart by the personal work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this I'm writing very hard because I don't want to get you into a lecture in historical theology this morning, but I tell you this, that it was because the Orthodox churches did not recognize this that there came to be born one of the most virulent attacks upon the gospel in this century. Neo-Orthodoxy with its paradox theology, its existential theology came along. Why? Karl Barth could say that he was going back to John Calvin. He was going back to the theology of the Reformation. He was doing this, he was doing that. And when it came to this matter of salvation, he started to say, look, God cannot be met at the end of a theological proposition. God can only be met in a personal encounter. So therefore they threw out the theological proposition they said. And we can criticize Karl Barth, and I do criticize him, and I reject his theology in its very basis. But let me say this to you. There's a lot of truth in what the man said. Where he made his mistake was when he got so far as saying God is not met at the end of a theological proposition. There must be a personal, real experience of God. Instead of throwing out the theological proposition, he ought to have recognized that God, the Holy Spirit, needs to vivify that truth and bring it to our hearts, or rather vivify our hearts to recognize the truth and to feel it. The theological orthodoxy is going to be dead. We can expect it to be thrown up and rejected by men. We need today to have a religion that is rooted in a real experience of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Spirit is the substance of our joy. The witness of the Spirit is to Christ. I'm not going to labor that point. I've spent a long time in the past in scriptures proving that. The witness of the Spirit is to the all-sufficient Christ. All the Holy Spirit's ministry really comes down to making Christ known in a saving way to the individual heart. That's the personal ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, what he does in the believer's life, therefore, witnessing to Christ, is to bring us to what Isaiah calls in chapter 12 and verse 3, to the wells of salvation. The personal ministry of the Holy Spirit in revealing Christ to us is to conduct us continually to Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. And what is the substance then of the joy that the Holy Spirit gives us? Well, it's what we drink when we get to the wells of salvation. That's the substance of our joy. You turn to Isaiah 12 and see then, what do we drink at the wells of salvation? What is the substance of the believer's joy? I'm only going to list these things. You can study them carefully. It's a great 12th chapter of the prophecy. We read in verse 1, "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me." Thine anger is turned away. The first part of the substance of the joy of the Lord is Christ, our satisfaction. Christ, the remover of the wrath of God. Christ, the destroyer of the curse. God was angry with us, but now that we're at the wells of salvation, we can say, God is angry with us no more. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit gives us to drink of that well. The first substance of our joy is Christ, our satisfaction. Let me tell you, until Jesus Christ is known to you as the satisfier of the wrath of God and the law of God on your behalf, you cannot begin to have joy.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.